and how it's kind of helped me. So when I went to school, I did not like it at all. I had a really hard time, like, even finding any friends, because it's a campus full of people that don't really know Jesus and they aren't really interested. So I was just kind of alone and didn't really have anyone. So there was an involvement fair on campus, and, you know, I was like, I'd been praying about it, like, let me find some friends that are like-minded like me on campus, because that's what I came here for, is to make friends. And so I walked around this involvement fair, and there was this huge table, and it said Delight, and I was like, this looks like something, you know, that might be good for me. And so I got all the information, and it's a women's ministry group. So I went to the first meeting, and I went by myself because I didn't have anyone to go to, but I knew I needed to be there. And when I went, it was amazing. Like, the girls were awesome. It's, you know, all these girls in one room who think just like me and who are so powerful. So I've been to every meeting since. And next semester, I'm going to be a leader on the team. So I'm in charge of community events next semester. But I'm really excited. But that's not even the awesomest thing about it. I want to share with you guys a little bit about Delight and, like, its past on at Shepherd, because it's a really good testimony. So in 2019, one of the girls, she's about to graduate, she heard about Delight, and she wanted to start this on campus. She wanted to start a women's ministry group on campus. Well, she went to get that started, and they said there were too many Christian organizations on campus. There was one. There was one. So they kept fighting for it, and, you know, they just weren't budging. So they met off campus under Delight Shepherd, just not at Shepherd, because we weren't allowed. They weren't allowed to. If we would have met at Shepherd, they would have gotten in trouble. So they met on campus, and then, you know, it took 2 years, and they finally were like, you guys can do it. You guys can do it. And then along with that, since they'd been fighting for that, they wanted to have a worship night on campus, and they did not want that. The school did not want that. So it's been 4 years, and we just had our first worship night on campus. They approved it. We had some obstacles. You know, we set up a table in our dining hall. We handed out flyers. We got some looks, and, you know, people posted about it on social media, and they didn't really like it, and they didn't like that there was going to be a pastor on campus, but we knew that he was supposed to be there, so we brought him anyways, and we had 75 people come out to this worship night, which is amazing, because we were really expecting only, like, the Delight girls to come out, you know, but 75 people came out to this worship night, and 20 people rededicated their life to Christ or accepted Jesus into their heart. So, you know, we've just been praying for a shift on campus, because we want people to know Jesus, and we want there to be a shift on campus where he's a part of the campus. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys and about Delight.
We're going to go ahead and dismiss Sunday school this morning. And then, so here at Word of Deliverance, we are going to sow into the Delight Ministry for some needs that they have. If any of you feel led to also sow into that ministry, let Brittany know. And we may have some more information about that coming up soon as well, to help them, because they do need some help with supplies and everything to keep them going. And so it's a All right. And so without further ado, we have a very special speaker this morning. And so we would like to welcome Billy Jo Reisinger to the podium this morning, because she's going to share the word with us today.
Well, this is definitely a different wheelhouse for me. This is not my comfort zone whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's like when Pastor Lisa messaged me about speaking, I was like, this has to be a typo. Something's wrong with this. My name was on this list by mistake. I even messaged her and asked her that. I was like, was this a mistake? And she's like, no, it wasn't a mistake. So then she messaged me it was a Sunday morning. I was getting ready to go to work that morning. And on my drive down to work, I have about a 40-minute drive. That's when I usually have my alone time with God, and I'm praying or worshiping or whatever. And that morning, the whole drive down, I was compiling a list of reasons why I was not doing this. I could not do this. I was like, I'm not equipped to do this. I can't speak like other people. I'm not, you know, fluent in scripture. I can't stand up here. I'm not worthy to stand in this role. And I just kept, I was good. I had a good list going. And then after that, I began to barter. Then it was like, but God, shouldn't I start small? Shouldn't I maybe do an offering, maybe teach a class, work my way up? You know, I haven't even done anything like that, and you throw me right out here. And I was like, no. But I heard God say to me when I was compiling my list, I heard him say, did I ask you to be anyone else? Did I ask you to be anyone else? And I was like, okay. And I knew then that I was supposed to do this. So did I drag my feet? Yeah, I did. I waited. But I did know I was supposed to do this. So I began to pray. Okay, God, if you want me to do this, then you're going to have to take the lead. You know, you tell me what you want me to say. You orchestrate this. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to be the vessel. And God is so faithful. He did just that. You know, he began showing me things, and whether it was at work and I'd be jotting down a note, or whether he'd wake me up in the middle of the night and give me a scripture, he just began speaking to my heart. But what I wasn't expecting was the very things that he was going to show me that I needed to speak about was what I was dealing with in my own life, what I was dealing with in myself. He was going to show me, he was showing me that my very weaknesses and my insecurities, he was going to show me that was going to be his strength. That was where he was going to show his strength. Jamie, will you put that scripture up? The scripture that God gave me was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That was plain as day. He was saying, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, in myself, I can't do this. But he was showing me, it's not going to be you that does it. You're going to stand here, but it's going to be me that does it. He was just going to show me how powerful he is. I mean, and if you think about it, it's at the times in our life when we're desperate, when we hit the lowest point, when we feel like we can't, you know, can't reach, take another step. You're at the end of your rope. That's when you really rely on God. That's when we trust God. That's when we really truly rely on his strength. And when we say we can't, that's when God says, but I can. You know, if Lisa would have come to me and said, hey, can you go pick something up for me? Can you maybe teach a Sunday school class? Can you pick something up after church or, you know, clean the bathroom? I'd have said, sure, no problem. Because that didn't take me out of my comfort zone. You know, it's when we're asked to step out of our comfort zone is where we struggle. Because I know in my life, I've often said to God, I'm here, use me. I'm your vessel. But I just wanted to help steer where the vessel went. And God was saying, you know, you're going to be the vessel, but you're going to step out. He just wanted me to be obedient. And I was going to let my insecurities keep me from doing something I knew God was asking me to do. So that being said, something that I've struggled with my whole life has been being insecure. You know, not only in my self-image and in myself, but feeling inadequate and not ever feeling like I was quite good enough. I always feel like I compared myself to others, saying, if I could be as pretty as this person, things would be better. If I could be as thin as this person, you know, if I could have, you know, if I could have this job, or if I could speak like this person, if I wouldn't get so nervous, I could do more things. I set myself up for standards that I couldn't meet, but I wasn't asked to meet. And I kept myself crazy trying to be something that I wasn't asked to be. You know, God made me this way. No, God doesn't want us. He doesn't want me to feel inadequate. He doesn't want me to feel less. But it's through those insecurities, through those weaknesses, that he shows me just how powerful he is. You know, it's always come easy for me to encourage others. It makes my heart feel good. It feels like it comes natural for me to build somebody else up. I could look around this room and I could tell each of you, make a list of your positive qualities or your attributes. But just don't ask me to do that same thing about myself, because I had trouble. I couldn't do that. And people would think, you know, well, she must have grown up in a family where she must not have had love, or she must not have been shown value. And it was quite the contrary. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I had loving parents who supported me, encouraged me. I was shown not only an example of love in their marriage, but also I had a foundation of God. You know, I got saved when I was 9 years old at Vacation Bible School. So my whole life I've grown up knowing God, having a relationship with God. I started singing when I was very young. So people would think, well, how would you get nervous in front of people if you sing and do all that? Well, I knew that that was a gifting that God had given to me. I was to use and to sing. I started singing Southern gospel music as a teenager and traveled and sang. But I was much better. I felt much more comfortable if I was behind the scenes. Let me sing with a group, that's fine. But I didn't need to be out front. I didn't need to be in the limelight. You know, even being a Christian and struggling, you know, God still used me, but I still had those insecurities. You know, people saw the person that they saw on stage, and they saw, you know, you were happy and you were up there doing that, but they didn't really see what was going on the inside. And one of the hardest things I think I ever dealt with in my life was when I lost my mom. It was actually this week was 5 years she's been gone. So when I lost my mom, I think it was a twofold loss for me. I not only lost my mom, but I lost my best friend. Because she was that person that I went to no matter what. I could call her 4 or 5 times a day, and we talked like that. And there wasn't anything I couldn't tell her. And when I called her, she would know within the first sentence what kind of mood I was in, and she would know everything that I was thinking. That's just the relationship we had. So when I lost her, that kind of devastated me. And I was waiting on God. I kept thinking, okay, you know, mom's gone. I was dealing with that grief. And then I was expecting God to send this person into my life that was going to fill that void. So I was waiting. I didn't think he was going to send me another mother, but I was expecting another person that was going to step into that role, a person that was going to be, you know, all those things that she was. And when God didn't send that, I felt like I was betrayed. And I heard God say to me one day, you need to change your perception. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? Change my perception. It didn't dawn on me then when I heard that, and I went on. And then again, I heard, you need to change your perception. And one day I was saying to God, God, I was really whining about it this day. I don't know what had went on, but I was like, I have nobody to talk to. You know, why would you take her and not replace us with somebody else? I know you want me to have all these things. Then why would you not give me somebody? And I heard God say, I did. I gave you all those things you had in her and more, but you just didn't see it. See, I spent every day waiting on God to send this person. And, you know, the expectation that I had was this person to come. But God said, I met the need, but it wasn't in the way you thought I was going to meet it. And so he began to show me things. It was like, whether it was a scripture that I heard, a sermon that I heard, whether it was a hug I got from Kendall, a text from a friend saying, how are you doing today? How's your day? An encouragement. Whether it was Travis talking to me, he's become such a good sounding board. I mean, he talks way more than I'm sure he would ever care to, or, you know, and for a man, I know talking isn't, you know, something that he's comfortable with, but he stepped right into that role. But God met that need, but I just didn't see it. He never left me without support or encouragement or love. It just wasn't the way I had pictured. So I was so busy waiting for what I expected to happen that I missed what God had put right in front of me. My vision was so cloudy that I missed seeing what I did have. So that's what God's been talking to me about and teaching me, has been to change my perception on things. Not only on that situation, but in my own self. Change the way I view myself. Change the way that I see my weaknesses and that I see myself. You know, I've spent my life looking at myself through my own eyes and what I thought I should see. And God began to show me, you need to stop and let me change your vision. You know, when your glasses get dirty, you get out glass cleaner, you get out Windex and you clean them. Well, you know, my vision's been cloudy. And he said, stop and let me clear your vision. Let me show you what I see when I look at you, because you don't see what I see. You know, where I look at myself and I see flaws, because I could look in the mirror and I could pick out 15, 20 flaws right off the bat. God says, where you see flaws and imperfections, I see beauty. You are perfect because I created you. You know, and the scripture tells us, for God knew us before when we were in the womb. He created us. And God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make any flaws. So how can I have flaws when God created me? You know, in Ephesians, it tells us, I am his handiwork. One translation, when I was looking this scripture up, said, I'm his masterpiece. When I think of myself as a masterpiece, I know I've never thought of myself as a masterpiece. Let me rephrase that. To me, to describe myself as a masterpiece, but God says, I'm his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. He personally crafted me for a purpose, crafted you for a purpose. You know, he crafted us for a unique purpose, just for you, just for me. I didn't have to stand up here and be like anybody else. You know, and where I see weaknesses and insecurities, God said, I see power. Because he tells me I can do all things through him that gives me strength. All things, not just some. All things, which means including standing up here today. He also says in Ephesians, I'm able to do far more than I can ask or imagine according to his power that works within me. See, it's all about him. All he needed was the vessel. He just needed me to step out and be obedient. You know, God didn't need to make me more powerful. He didn't need to make me braver. I didn't need to lose any insecurities. I didn't need to lose that. He just needed to show me. He needed me to see how powerful he was. He needed me to release that to him and just say, look, I'm just going to step up here. I'm going to step up here, and he's going to take the lead. You know, God doesn't compare me to anyone else. He doesn't hold me to a standard. He doesn't hold you to a standard. He just loves us, accepts us. And that's hard to fathom. You know, love without condition. Love not earned, just given. When we look at ourselves, we see all the things we lack and all the things that we aren't. God says, look here. Let me show you all the things I see when I look at you. Let me show you all the things you are. Let me show you how beautiful you are, how loved you are, how I delight in you, how proud of you I am. You know, think about as parents, how proud you get of your kids. I can remember when people used to have those wallets with the little picture things and they'd tri-fold out, you know, or grandparents, how proud you get of your grandbabies. You know, I have a grandbaby now, so, you know, you're proud of your grandkids. And you pull out that picture. You can't wait to show somebody the newest thing they've done. Well, you know, God's the same way. He's proud of us. He's proud of us. Jim said when he spoke the other week, he has, your name is in the palm of his hand. You know, society tells us we're loved and accepted if we look a certain way, if we drive a certain car, if we have this prestigious career, if we make a certain amount of money. But God says we're loved because, you know, he chose us. Before we ever chose him, he chose us. And, you know, our love, his love for us isn't based on anything. It's his character. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on something that we can do. Nothing's going to change God's love for us. He's not going to love me more tomorrow than he does today. He didn't love me more yesterday than he did today. His love's the same. You know, God doesn't put us into categories. He doesn't say, you know, this person over here, you know, like Pastor Lisa, she's a wonderful speaker, wonderful woman of God. I mean, she can speak and blow the roof off. And or these people, they read the Bible every day, and they're living the straight and narrow. I love them a whole bunch. And then you got these ones over here. Well, they're doing their best. They read when they can. They go to church. I love them, you know, so-so. And then you got these over here. They're like on the Hot Mess Express. You know, they're all over the place. You know, they don't know whether they're going or coming. You know, he doesn't say, yeah, well, you know, I kind of love them. I died for them, but, you know, it's not like that. God loves us all the same. You know, his word says he loves us because, like I said, he knew us before we were born. He gave up his own son for us. The word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, I love all of you, but I don't know if I'd give up one of my babies for you. But God loved you enough to do that. You know, God never, like I said, he never asked me to try to be like or be anyone else. He never doubted me, never compared me to anyone else. Never pointed out my flaws or my shortcomings. He just wanted me to see myself through his eyes. He wanted me to let go of what I thought I saw and let him show me who I am. Because he says I'm beautiful and I'm capable. I'm strong. I'm equipped. I'm loved. And I'm enough right now. All those insecurities, all those fears. He never said to me, when you deal with all these things, when you get more bold, or when, you know, when you lose your weaknesses, come see me. He never looks at us and says, when you get it all together, I've heard people say before, well, I'll go to church, or when I get my life together and I get some things straightened out, I'll start coming to church. But God doesn't say that. He didn't say, when you get yourself together, come see me. No, he said, I'm right here. You bring all that stuff. You know, bring your baggage, bring your fears, bring your insecurities and your weaknesses. He's going to love you right where you're at, through all those things. So for me, how do you clear this cloudy vision? For me, it's a daily thing. Every day, I need to remind myself who I am. You know, the word tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that means daily I need to remember who I am, who God tells me I am. And declare God's word over your life. You know, remember who God says you are. Speak life to yourself. So on those days, if you do, if God gave me this word, I know that this isn't just for myself. Everybody deals with some type of insecurity, some type of weakness. So on those days when you feel weak, when you feel insecure, speak life. Speak that truth over yourself. Remember who God says you are. Let him show you how proud of you he is. You know, let him clear your vision. All God wanted us to do, all he wanted me to do was just be obedient, and he would take care of the rest. I didn't have no big, fancy speech to give, or sermon to give you, but that's what God's been speaking to my heart. Just to clear your vision, change your perception. Let me show you who you are in me. Because sometimes I think we forget who we are. We get so busy looking at who we think we see that we forget to see who God says we are. We forget to see who God says we are. And Dan asked me, do you have a title? And when I was working on things this week and looking over it, something I felt God saying to me, it was going to be, do you see what I see? And it just so happens that isn't a Christmas song coming up, but, you know, and that's the truth. Do we see what he sees? So the next time you look at yourself in the mirror, think, do I see what he sees? Because remember, when he sees you, his perception is perfect because he created you. There's no flaws, there's no insecurities, no weaknesses. So that's what I have for you today, guys. I'm not sure who's facilitating or taking over here.